On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you. Be seated. Closing session.
22-117 Commonwealth versus Karen Reed.
All right. The jury is at an impasse.
All right. That's going to be the end.
Bring them in.
That's going to be the end. The jury is at an impasse. I'm going to bring them in. That's going to be the end. She's going to declare a mistrial, and that is going to be it. So,
I'm in receipt of your note. Judge Cannone, despite our rigorous efforts, we continue to find ourselves at an impasse. Our perspectives on the evidence are starkly divided. Some members of the jury firmly believe that the evidence surpasses the burden of proof, establishing the elements of the charges beyond a reasonable doubt.
That's interesting.
Conversely, others find the evidence fails to meet this standard and does not sufficiently establish the necessary elements of the charges.
Right.
The deep division is not due to a lack of effort or diligence, but rather a sincere adherence to our individual principles and moral convictions.
Right.
To continue to deliberate would be futile and only serve to force us to compromise these deeply held beliefs.
Right. We're done.
And there it is, a hung jury in the Karen Reed trial yesterday. You were hearing commentary from Emily D. Baker, the internet's go-to entertainment legal analyst, a prior LA deputy district attorney. You can find her on YouTube and on the Law Nerd app. And I was watching that with you, Emily, as it was unfolding. And it almost felt a little bit sad for me that we didn't get a conclusion to this. I have to imagine it feels a lot like that for all the people involved. How were you feeling when you heard the decision to declare a mistrial by the judge?
I wasn't surprised. Good morning, everybody. I'm sure everybody feels a little unresolved, but I wasn't surprised. After their notes on Friday indicating that they were deadlocked, I was expecting this result today. It seemed that the jury had been very diligent, and it seems that they just had differences of opinions on the evidence. And if you believe Karen Reed is guilty, are you going to change your mind? And if you believe she's not guilty, are you going to change your mind? There's not a lot of room for compromise in this case. And even the lesser included charges that they were instructed on are still very serious charges, involuntary manslaughter and motor vehicle homicide. So there's nowhere for the jury to compromise, and they did not.
Does this happen a lot? Mistrials, hung juries, or is this rare?
I really haven't looked it up. It's not the most common result, but it's also not incredibly rare. It does happen. It's more unusual to me that the judge did not pull them to tell us how they were split, because you can see juries that reach a verdict on some charges and are deadlocked on other charges. You can see them closer to agreement on some charges than others. I don't think that would be the case here, because everything really stems around, did John O'Keefe get hit by a vehicle? And I can understand, based on this evidence, where that deadlock would be, even though to many it seemed obvious one way or the other. That's the exact point. To this jury, it seemed obvious to them one way or the other, and they couldn't bridge that gap.
And the judge has gone out of her way to keep the identities of the jurors private. It will not become a matter of public record because they did not come to a verdict. Mm. Because it's a hung jury, they will now not release this information. Do you think we'll ever get a sense of what each juror voted?
I don't know if we will. I don't know if they were polled at all. I don't know if the attorneys know that. It's very helpful to the attorneys in their decision-making process. I don't know if it's going to be in the record anywhere with how this judge has done things. And I don't think these jurors are going to volunteer to come forward and speak to the media, though they could if they wanted to. I think that would be unlikely here.
So, Emily, with it being a mistrial, how does this work? Do we just, like, a year down the road, do they just run it back with the same experts and the same witnesses and just the same case, just a different jury?
They have a year to try it. Of course, the attorneys can argue for more time. Both sides here wanted more time for this trial. They wanted stuff going on in the federal investigation. But we're going to see a lot more motions leading up to trial. The video from the Sallyport, the one that was like flipped and inverted, that didn't get disclosed till during trial. So there's things that both sides now know about well in advance. So we're going to see a lot more motions, and I think we'll see the judge narrowing down the evidence. I don't know if we'll hear from every single person who went to the Canton basketball game in a retrial. I think the judge will try to move this trial along more quickly.
And what will happen regarding Trooper Michael Proctor, who has been relieved of his duties? He was the lead investigator. Does he just disappear now if they go for a retrial?
I think it's very interesting how quickly that announcement came down. I said yesterday a couple times that I thought it was maybe a little quick for the prosecution to announce that they were going to do a retrial. They announced it incredibly swiftly. And I said, maybe there's a minute to wait till the end of the month when you have a hearing and then let the office decide. Mm-hmm. But he's still subject to an internal affairs investigation. And if he's terminated, it's going to be really hard to bring him in to testify in a retrial. And it is going to change how the prosecution approaches this case.
617-931-1234. Emily D. Baker's going to hang out for a few more minutes. She's going to take your questions as well. If you have a question about something that happened in the trial, she makes it very simple to understand. She speaks in a language that we all can mm-hmm. comprehend, you know, mm-hmm. like a good eighth grade level. It's good for me. So I appreciate that. Again, it's Emily D. Baker. You can find her on the Law Nerd app. And if you have a question for Emily about the Karen Reed trial, 617-931-1234. You can call or text that number. We'll do that next on Mix.
Carson and Kennedy on Mix 104.1.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.